shoes. It's Jesus in the everyday, me and you. The good news in shoes.
This is the Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
Welcome to Grace Thoughts, the radio ministry of Greater Grace Church, located here in beautiful Green Acres, Florida. We're a local family-oriented church that places a great emphasis on teaching the Word of God without today's current trends and compromises. Our church meets every Sunday at the Green Acres Community Center, located at 501 Swain Boulevard at the intersection of 10th Avenue North. Worship begins at 10:30 a.m. Stay tuned now as we go to today's message being taught by our pastor and Bible teacher, Dan Foster.
Hebrews chapter 5, verse 8. Says, though he was a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. Though he was a son, and being a son means that there's no predisposition to disobey. He had no predisposition to disobey or to sin. Though he was a son. And the reason was his nature, of course, the nature of our Lord Jesus Christ, was always the Lamb of God. He was the Father's Lamb. And he was always meek and humble. No predisposition to sin or disobey. So even though he was a son, yet he still learned obedience by the things which he suffered. So when Jesus Christ, the God-man, God and yet man and yet God, when he was on this earth, he learned experientially. He knew it theologically, and he had always been one with the Father in eternity past. But now in time and space, being born as a man, being born as a baby and growing up to be a man and living for 33 years on the earth, he learned experientially how to obey. And he will obey the Father's will against all adversity, all opposition, and all discomfort to the flesh. It's quite something that Jesus Christ would obey the Father against all adversity, against all opposition that was against him, and anything that came against his own flesh that was discomforting, he would still obey the Father. Doing the will of the Father was his priority. We see that even at a young age of 12, 13 years old, when he needed to be about his Father's business. He was focused on doing the Father's will. And opposition, adversity, and discomfort would not dissuade him from doing that. And Philippians 2:8 gives us a beautiful verse on that particular thought. It says this, that being found in appearance as a man, speaking of Jesus Christ, he's found in with the appearance of a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. So he experientially learned how to obey the Father through the adversities, through the opposition against him, and through any discomfort he might have to go through. Obeying the Father, prioritizing the Father's will, was numero uno in his life. That was his prime directive. And he didn't lose out on that, as you know. Anybody who makes the Father's will, anybody who makes the will of God the priority of their life, never loses. You never lose out when you make the Father. It may seem like it for a while, because you're experiencing discomforts at certain intervals of your life. You're sacrificing, you're giving up things, you're being persecuted, whatever it is. It may seem like you're losing something, but verse 9 in Philippians 2 says, therefore, because he did so, because he prioritized the will of the Father above anything else that came against him, therefore God has highly exalted him given him a name which is above every name. So there is the reward that comes from the Father when the believer prioritizes the Father's will and puts that above everything else in that comes against them and everything else in their life. The Father's will is the most important thing. And that's the same thing as seeking the kingdom of heaven first, putting the Father's will first. And everything else in life comes as God blesses and provides and is the provider. Now, back in the Old Testament, we have the story of Samuel and Saul, King Saul. And King Saul was an individual who became disqualified from being used of God. He was in the service of God. He was the king of Israel. He was the king, but God was over him. And he became unusable because he could not obey. And he was in a particular situation where he was called upon to wait for Samuel the prophet. And he was supposed to wait until Samuel got there. And then he was dealing with the kings, and he was supposed to deal with these five kings in a certain manner. And both things he didn't do. He didn't wait. He was supposed to wait. That was the will of God. That was the rule of law, that he was not permitted to offer the sacrifice. Only the prophet was. Samuel was. And number two, he did not deal with the kings like he was told. So he failed on those two points, and he didn't like waiting, as many of us don't, and he rearranged God's will to make it more convenient for himself. And so instead of destroying everything, he saved the best and kept it. And so he rearranged God's will for himself. And he didn't wait. And so those two things came into view. And when Samuel finally showed up, Samuel told him, listen, to obey is better than to sacrifice. God prefers obedience over anything you might sacrifice. You could dream up all kinds of sacrifices that you might want to do for God. But God prefers a little obedience over and above that. Some people can come up with all kinds of things they do for God. But God says, well, whatever you think you can do for me, I prefer obedience. Just do what I ask you to do. And then the latter part of that verse, it says, and to listen is more important than the sacrifice of a ram. Listening and obeying. And Samuel didn't learn obedience through the things he suffered. He didn't like waiting. That was painful for him. He was listening to the people who were opposed to destroying everything because some of the stuff was worth something. Hey, this stuff's valuable. We can get money for this. So he didn't want to go against the people. He had opposition. So he didn't learn obedience through the things he suffered, and so he changed it. He changed the game. He offered the sacrifice, and he decided what was to be destroyed and what was to be kept, rather than let God do that. And then, to top it off, he was deceived because in the end he ended up calling what he did God's will. He said he did what he ended up calling it God's will, and that's 1 Samuel 15:20, when he was finally confronted by Samuel, and Samuel said, you didn't wait, you were supposed to wait, you didn't destroy everything, you were supposed to destroy everything, why have you not obeyed God? And King Saul turns around and he says this in verse 20, oh, but I have obeyed the voice of the Lord. See, he's deceived. He thinks he rearranged God's will for his life. It's like when I go to a buffet. I just know it's God's will to go up there the third time. Rearranging God's will. So I'm sure the will of the Father is to go three times, not once. And you rearrange, I mean, that's a silly thing, but you rearrange his will. You decide for yourself what God's will is. And then you perform it. And then you're adamantly, hey, I'm doing God's will. I feel stuffed and sick, but I'm doing God's will. And you think you're doing it because you rearrange it. And that's human nature to do that. Because we personally, we really don't like the opposition, adversity, and discomforts that come with obedience. We don't like that at all. And so, verse 9 in Hebrews 5 says, having been perfected, Jesus learned obedience. He went through all the opposition, adversity, and discomforts that the world threw at him and that the devil threw at him. And he became complete, perfected, means that he came through a process. This is first aorist passive in the Greek, means through a process of going through all those things. He became perfect, complete, or qualified. He was qualified now to go to the cross and die for the sins of you and for me, and not for himself, because he didn't sin. He obeyed the Father. Right down to his thought life, he obeyed the Father. So he was never guilty on his own part. So he took your guilt and my guilt upon himself. He became the substitution, the substitutionary sacrifice for our sins and for the sins of the whole world. Because he learned obedience through the things he suffered, he didn't back off because things got rough. He didn't quit. He didn't change the game, rearrange what the will of the Father is to make it better for me. He did exactly what he was called to do. And even though it was uncomfortable at times, as he explained to his disciples, follow me, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. You know, we might be homeless for a while. That's not very comfortable. And he went through lots of adversity, but continued to obey the Father's will. He did not quit. And therefore, he was qualified to be the sacrifice that atones for our sins. And through that, the latter part of verse 9, it says, he became the author of eternal salvation to all who obey God, to obey him. He became the author of eternal salvation, not temporal salvation, eternal salvation for all who obey him. So he established through his death, qualifying himself through obedience, and then dying for you and for me, he established the opportunity for eternal life, not temporal life, eternal life for all who obey the gospel. The good news is, obeying the gospel is not obeying the law. Some people misuse this verse. They take this verse and say, aha, you see, if you sin, you're not obeying God, therefore you don't have eternal salvation. If you have a bad habit in your life that you haven't got rid of, you're not obeying it. And they use it to prove that you're not saved. But this is the obedience to the gospel, not obedience to the law. We're not calling for obedience to the law. This is the New Testament. This is obedience to the gospel. Obeying the gospel is to believe. Person who obeys the gospel is a person.
Thank you for listening to Grace Thoughts, the radio ministry of Greater Grace Church, located in Green Acres, Florida. Grace Thoughts can be heard daily at 12 p.m. on this same station. For complete messages and information about our ministry, you can visit us on the web at greatergracechurch.net. Again, that's greatergracechurch.net. Donations can be made directly through the website or mail us at Grace Thoughts, P.O. Box 540993, Green Acres, Florida, 33454. That's P.O. Box 540993, Green Acres, Florida, 33454. We hope you've enjoyed today's program and will tune in to us next time as we consider together God's heart toward us in Grace Thoughts.
WCNO's broadcast day is underwritten by Krause and Crane Incorporated, celebrating 50 years of air conditioning service to the Martin County area. Since 1970,